Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing Entertainment Network podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy beverages. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com, and if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Happy New Year! We are live on a Whiskey Wednesday. What We Watch, When We Drink is back for another great year of, I guess these are called podcasts these days. We are live. We hope you can spend a part of your Wednesday night with us or download this next week when it comes out, available on all your podcast listening places. Tonight we're live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Anywhere else, Ange? That's about it, right?
LinkedIn.
You go. We are back. We are ready to rock and roll for you. We got a great year-end wrap-up of 2026. A reminder that
2025. We're wrapping up
2025. That's right, 2025. We're moving a year in advance. I want to remind everyone that you can watch my two cohorts review items on the at the murder table on boozedancing.com and all those other places we talked about. They review whiskey and beer and wine and you name it. They review it. Have any ideas? Drop us a line. We will listen to them. And let's see. What else can I tell you? Oh, I know. I want to just remind everyone that we are the unofficial podcast of Regime Change. And 2026 is the year of our takeover of the podcast globe. And we are coming for you, Joe Rogan. We are coming for the Mel Robbins podcast. We're coming for Dateline NBC, Smartless, Call Her Daddy, whatever the hell that is, the Ezra Klein Show, Amy Poehler.
Her good hang's done.
Good hang is done. We're after the Kelseys. We're coming after them all. Cold-blooded and Mystery in Alaska. What the hell is that? We're coming after that. And if Greenland has some sort of podcast, we're coming after Greenland.
Yeah, we're not just North America. We're going after South America now, too.
All the Americas. If Venezuela has one, we're going after Venezuela.
You know, I tried to get Maduro, but he was detained.
We're going to go after them all, guys. This is our year, 2026. How are we, guys?
God, I hope so.
How are we?
All right. Booze dancing domination. Is that what you're saying?
I got three beverages in front of me. I think I'm doing pretty good for a Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that bit.
We're getting there.
Our fine folks at Impex.
Yes, they have.
Were kind enough to send us some samples.
They have.
And I like samples.
Like samples, right. Cool. We love going to Costco and walking around and getting samples, amongst other places. We have some wonderful spirits to taste and review tonight. We'll give you our thoughts on them. Thank you to Sam Filmus and the team at Impex Beverages and JVS for sending off those samples to us. Tonight's going to be a fun night. We are looking back at our year of 2025 TV watching. And I think it was a pretty good year. I'm really bad at remembering all the things, so we all probably had to do the same thing and get a list made and try to remember what we watched and if we liked it or not. I personally used some of the top 10 lists that were out there and some broader ones to kind of refresh my memory. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? TV was pretty good last year, right?
There was some good stuff. There was some really good stuff. There was some, you know, decent stuff, some entertaining stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoyed. Oh, yeah. One thing we forgot to mention. We must thank our dear friend Jeanette at Impex Beverages.
Oh, yes.
For hooking us up. She takes good care of us along with Sam and company.
Yes. Yep. Thank you to Jeanette. She is wonderful in getting these samples to us nice and neatly, too. No breakage.
No spillage.
No spillage. Yes. Spillage. Okay, the year in 2025 TV, you know, every year is getting weirder and weirder with television and all the freaking channels and finding stuff. It's like pulling your hair out trying to find find something.
Yeah, well, you would if you could. I would if I could.
Yeah, me too. Yes, it's more of a metaphor.
Yeah.
it's really tough. And now we're in award seasons, and all of a sudden the best ofs are coming out, and it's a good time to kind of look back and talk about what we watched. Before we start looking and talking about TV, why don't we hop into one of these Impact selections that we have? Where are we going to start, boys?
Let's start with the gin.
The gin, the Herb Garden Festive Gin. Is that the one?
Yep. That be the one.
All righty. All righty. It's a little palish.
Not palish. Yes, it is. As long as it's got, well, my lighting is kind of terrible here, but it almost has a pinkish hue, if you will.
Yes, it does. I'm looking against my white wall, and it does have a pinkish hue.
So this is the Herb Garden Festive Gin, 43% ABV. This is made outside of Edinburgh, right?
I believe that is true.
What was the gentleman's name that makes this?
That is a great question.
Wait, hold on, let me see. What is his name? I know was it Angus or something like that?
I don't recall. He was on our website.
It's been a long time. Are
you just going to randomly throw out a name like Angus?
Sure, Angus. Why not? And I, if his name is Angus, I apologize. I don't mean to.
If you're right, that's amazing.
You are very close. His name is Hamish.
Hamish
Martin.
Hamish.
Okay. See, I wasn't completely off base. I see
Paul that he has a piece of property that grows a large number of the botanicals that go into this.
Herbs. The herbs.
And he had an owl. That's what I remember from our visit.
Yes, it was a wild good
stuff. Grew stuff himself and had an owl on the show.
Did we put some of this in our glass already?
I did.
Wait. It's 2026.
I did.
So cheers to 2026 and booze dancing domination.
Wow.
Goodbye to 2025.
So our New Year's resolution should be to try to get back on the every other week schedule.
We should try to do that. That's a good resolution.
It's a good resolution.
I already blew my resolution. I was going for dry January.
Yeah. I call it rye January. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I
made it to the first.
Mm. Wow.
It smells fantastic.
It does. Sam was nice enough to send us a little folder handout from the Herb Garden, and it just... You're just looking at this thing. I remember these guys had some amazing flavors and smells and botanicals and just Boat crazy.
Time. Oh, that was right. That was the lemon verbena. That one was
delicious.
Yes. I'm getting a little juniper. Is anybody else getting juniper?
Yes.
Gee, I don't know. Maybe.
Is this gin? Wow. Yeah, there was some.
I've got skills. I do.
Bad skills.
Speaking of gin, I told you our foray into martini making.
Yes, I heard this.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right.
It was a fine beverage.
I may have been converted to being a martini fan. It was quite delicious.
I might have to attempt that.
One word, one thing you have to know: 25 degrees.
Yeah.
Just saying.
He was stirring like a madman.
It was great. I was stirring the pot.
Wow, there is so much going on in this thing.
There's a little bit of cinnamon. You get that gin.
Maybe lemon. Maybe a little soapy in a good way.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I could see it.
All right.
Maybe a little
I'm going to go for a taste.
I'm going in.
Hmm. Ooh. They put the herb in Herb Garden Gin. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm.
That is really good. I seem to recall Hamish saying that they didn't necessarily think about am I remembering this right? They weren't really thinking about cocktail making with these. Yep. They were thinking about sipping gins.
These are sippers.
This is an amazing sipper. Can you imagine this on a little bit of ice?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just. What was it?
43.
Yeah. 43. This is. Although, is there such thing as a session gin?
Sure. If you wanted to make a maybe a little more floral of a cocktail, it'd be pretty good.
Oh, most definitely.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
It's nice. It's got nice mouthfeel. Peppery.
Instead of throwing in Saint Germain or something like that, you can just. It's already in here. You already got the flavor.
Yeah. Totally. Do you have any info on this one?
I don't know. I was looking on the site on the. Well, you know what? Let me go on the. Let me see. Did I go? Let me go. You talk. Let me see if I can find the actual website.
Well, the little note in the back says they have ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, juniper, coriander, angelica root, and winter savory.
It's right there on the back of our little.
They tell you to serve it with an orange slice.
Yeah,
which if you had a nice twist of orangeness, that's. Cocktail of glass.
Rich spicy notes with a warm depth of flavor, infusion, festive celebrations extra dose of joy.
It was right in front of me, and I didn't even look. Silly me.
I don't know that I get the ginger, but I definitely get cardamom. Wow. Yeah.
And the cinnamon.
It's delicious. Isn't it interesting how gin has just, in the last 5 years or so, just it's got its own thing, and not in a bad way. It's not like, oh, gin, that's just for, you know, horrible cocktails, over push that over to the side. Now these gin makers are just making these incredible products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had some good ones. We've had some very good ones.
And I think that the real thing for gin is timing. It doesn't take much time to make gin.
Nope. Right. That's a great thing.
So, yep. You know, I don't have to wait 2, 3, 4 years to make a product. I can get this out right away.
Distill it.
Yes.
And then, you know, bottle it. Infuse it. Whatever you got to do.
And maybe take a little extra time to put the right botanical mix through it.
Yep.
And turn it into something like this.
So when they make the gin, right, don't they have like whatever the neutral grain spirit is, and then they have all the stuff in like a basket, and then they run it through the still again?
I think that's one way it's done.
Yeah, kind of like when they hop a beer. You dry hop, you wet hop, the different things they do. I think they do the same thing with the botanicals.
Well, I think
some botanicals they might steep in it while they're making it. Other ones they might just run it through it.
Well, question though, with the dry hop and the wet hop, is the dry hop that they're like using like dried hops versus fresh hops?
This is out of my.
I think it's where they're not actually soaking anything. I don't think it's dried out.
I don't know.
So they're running the liquid through a dry substance opposed to.
I don't know.
A dried out substance.
Okay. All right.
And in this case, all of these items, all of these botanicals are, I believe, from the garden, from their property, right?
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Although from I think the at the time, didn't he say he was getting the juniper from Italy?
Yeah, he was sourcing the juniper.
Oh, that's right.
And then he was getting, everything else was coming from the garden.
Right. And that was then, but this was probably, we're talking probably 3 years ago.
It's like him and his wife, they bought some old farm or something.
Outside of Edinburgh, right?
Yeah, and they just started to... Whatever that was growing already, then they added things and kept growing. And then, hey, well, let's make gin too.
Right. And what was the one we had before the lemon
verbena?
Verbena. Yeah, yeah.
That was really good.
Yes,
that was very good.
But this is also quite festive.
It is. As a gin. It's nice.
It's good.
In this little pamphlet that Sam sent, there's also in here a elderflower and jasmine. Gin and the lemon verbena and juniper gin and the damask rose petals and juniper gin.
We've had that one. I know we had that.
I think I might have had them all, actually. They're just really interesting. They're really good. It's like, I don't want to waste it in a cocktail. It's so good, but it would make it really make a good cocktail.
Yeah, but if I could make a really good cocktail with it, maybe I will.
Totally.
It wouldn't be a waste then.
Okay. Let's talk some TV. Just a quick reminder, this is what we watch when we drink, boozedancing.com. Hop on the comments if you want to, if you're watching.
What just happened? Wait,
I'm glad he's gone. I never liked
him. What just happened?
Yeah, we lost him.
Where'd he go?
He hopped onto the comments and he left.
Oh my God. And he's back.
Button. I hit the wrong.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
Looking for comments and I clicked.
Jesus.
You zigged instead of zag.
I tried to get
feeds. Don't worry about the comments.
So, all right.
Don't worry about the comments.
So, I'd like to throw in two shows that are technically 2024s.
Oh.
But I didn't watch them until 2025.
Okay. That count.
One is Shrinking.
Oh, yeah.
And the other is Bad Monkey.
Oh, yeah. Did you finally finish it?
And
Bad Monkey was.
I finished it before.
Bad Monkey was 2024.
Yes. 2024.
Really?
Yes.
That makes sense.
And I have to say that since I watched them in 2025, they should count. So I watched. I'm up to date with Shrinking, the two seasons I watched, and then Bad Monkey.
So why?
And both Bad Monkey and Shrinking are coming out in 2026 with new seasons.
Right.
So
let's talk Shrinking first, Mike. I have not watched it, and I've it's been on a list of mine to probably watch. Well, what's so good about it? Why'd you like it?
Yeah, well, I was forced to watch some of it on the airplane because I had nothing else to do and I couldn't fall asleep. And I watched it and I thought, you know, this is actually probably worth watching a little more of. So then when we got back from where we were, I got all of them to watch it, and everyone really enjoys the show. It's to find Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother and other things, and Harrison Ford. And they are play psychiatrists and are psychologists, and it's just a really good show.
What's the who's the black woman in the show? The other person in the practice.
Well, I can't remember what her name is.
She's good, and I liked her in that show. I think I talked about before that Love Life, the one that's on Netflix now. It used to be an HBO Max show.
Jessica Williams, is that her?
Yeah, she's really good, and she's really good in Love Life, second season especially, which is the one she's in. So.
Brett Goldstein's in this?
He produced it.
Oh, okay.
I think he does show up as like a patient in it.
And this is that guy
at the end of one season. But
the same guy that started Ted Lasso? What's his name? Lawrence?
Yeah.
Lawrence?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Kristen Roy Miller.
Kent. He's Roy Kent. And it's a Bill Lawrence show.
Yep.
Where
Kristen Miller's husband.
So many TV shows.
Yep.
And this is yet another great TV show that he's put together. And not surprisingly, she's in it because, you know, nepotism.
Yeah.
I got to employ my wife. She'll be mad when I'm going to work each day and she's not with me.
Kristen Miller is very funny.
Who's this one?
Krista Miller.
Who's she?
She plays Drew Carey's friend in the Drew Carey show, the Bill Lawrence show. She plays one of the neighbors in Cougar Town, the Bill Lawrence show.
Another show I didn't watch. Okay.
She plays the neighbor of Jason Segel. In Shrinking.
Okay.
All right. She's another Bill Lawrence show.
She's a very good comedic actress.
I think you see a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's good. It's good.
Not then she isn't good in her own right. I'm not saying that's
the only. But then you get the producer credit, and you get the producer money, and then you get the actress money, and it's all in the family. It's all good. I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it.
But it's just a really well-done show.
Yeah.
Talking about these three individuals who are supposed to solve your problems, whose lives are filled with nothing but problems, and how they all navigate around everything.
The cliche psychologist trope from going back to the Newhart show in the 1970s.
Yep.
Right. Yep. Now you said Bad Monkey. Isn't that a Bill Lawrence show too?
Bad Monkey, also a Bill Lawrence
show. That's what I thought, yeah.
I don't believe his wife is in it.
Krista Miller has not shown up yet in Bad Monkey. Maybe next season.
There's always season two.
Season two.
But Zach Braff is in it, and he's in a Bill Lawrence show called Scrubs. And
that's right.
Also in the Bill Lawrence show called Scrubs, Krista Miller.
And I believe Scrubs is getting a reboot.
Getting a reboot. That's right.
So Scrubs is coming back. Probably a Bill Lawrence Scrubs.
So Bad Monkey, Vince Vaughn vehicle. Where Vince Vaughn is basically just being Vince Vaughn.
Yes. And he's good at that.
It's when he's Vince Vaughn, he's good.
He's good.
He tries to do other stuff.
Yeah, that's okay. Good. Yeah.
But he's the best Vince Vaughn there is. So
pretty much.
Time to keep doing it.
Yep.
And we watched that as part of the pod, I believe we watched.
Yes.
As my homework.
Did. We all loved it.
And I'm counting it for 2025 because we did it in 2025.
Yeah, it's a really good, mystery, drama, comedy, farce thing, all set in somewhere in Florida. Really, really.
And it's coming back for another season. And I believe this season is going to be centered in L.A. instead of in and around Key West, Florida.
Really?
Huh. No. All right.
Well, interesting.
We'll find out.
So I don't know if they're coming back with like an anthology, like the whole cast comes back, but they're playing different roles. Or if they're all coming back to be the same thing, just with a different locale.
Well, he and Vince Vaughn and was Natalie Martinez, I think her name was. They were great together. They were really fun.
Yeah.
Michelle Monaghan was in that one too. Just really a great
Scott
casting.
Glenn's in it, playing
right?
his dad.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Boy, that was a good show. We liked that a lot.
John, what was his name? John Ortiz? As his
John Ortiz played his
he
partner.
Was excellent too.
Excellent.
That guy.
We loved it. Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank on the guy with the mustache.
Rob Delaney.
Rob Delaney.
Who was in a great show, which was also part of our homework at one point.
Yes. Yes.
which
great. Yeah. All right,
two good shows,
excellent shows. Well, I want to go watch Shrinking. I definitely. What's that? Isn't season three? It's going into season three.
I think they had like a split season, maybe.
I guess I gotta
they
go did back
some to shows it. And then came back to do it.
So, hey, question: we're gonna do this. We're gonna go from like, we're gonna work our way up to our favorites.
Sure.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Sure. Yep. All right, Ange, throw a couple out.
Well, I'll quickly say there's two on my list that I just need. I started, but I didn't finish, and that would be Andor and Pluribus. They're both wrapped.
Two shows that I saw on many top 20 lists. So
yeah, Pluribus didn't grab me. I got about four episodes in, and I kind of got bored. And I'm like, I'll wait for it all to go, and maybe it's a momentum thing. I just need to binge it. And same thing with Andor. Like, I watched the first three episodes and they were okay.
But then season two,
one was great.
Yes.
And I hear great things about season two, but I just got to get back.
Andor I saw as like the number one show on a couple of the lists I saw.
It's
so for my fact it didn't grab you. I'm surprised.
Well, you need to watch the whole thing, I think.
Yeah. The first three episodes were a little tedious.
The setup was a little slow, tough, but
yeah,
I can tell you, well, personally, I loved Andor, top five or three for me. I actually downloaded the last five episodes to watch when I went back to Philly for Christmas to watch both ways. And I saw a lot of stuff I didn't see them before. The last five episodes are just amazing. They're really great. It's a great show.
I'm not a big Star Trek guy, so I wasn't really interested in it.
You know what? The you see this everywhere that it's the least Star Trek-y Star Trek. Star Wars.
You're making jokes there?
Wars, like, Trek, whatever.
It's all the same thing.
It's the least Star Wars-y and Star Wars
Disney. It's a Western, right?
Which is what I liked about it. It's not a Western. I don't think it's
I don't know if it's a Western. It's a...
No, that's the other one. The other one's more of a Western.
What?
What was the one? The Mandalorian.
They're both set up that way.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Mandalorian is a space western. Andor's.
This, for the Star Wars nerds out there, this one leads right up to
Rogue One.
Yeah. So yes. There probably isn't another one coming, I'm guessing. I don't know. So. Not sure. But it's really good. And what's that? What's his name? Diego Luna?
Yeah, Diego Luna.
Yeah, he's great. The whole cast is great. Yes. The Skarsgård. Is Skarsgård in that? There's the Skarsgård dad. Is
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Stellan Skarsgård's in it.
Yeah, right. He's great. Just really good. I'm glad you brought it up. What was the other one you brought up? You said Pluribus. It's on a lot of lists, but I watched it all, and I was like you. I was not that
didn't
excited
grab
about
me.
It.
I'll go back.
It's very Vince Gilligan. It's very good. I mean, it's very good. Great? I'm not sure. It's filmed in that way, shot in that way, like you're watching Breaking Bad or you're watching Better Call Saul. He definitely has a style. And what's her name?
Seahorn.
She's great.
Seahorn.
But I'm not, it's just, I don't know. It didn't like capture me like a lot of other new shows did or nope. shows did this year. Nope. Yeah.
Okay. You, Aaron, you're up.
Okay. So a couple two from the bottom, I guess. I don't know where to start. Well, how about, this is kind of a odd one, maybe. Long Short Story. I think I brought this up during the pod at one point. This is from the guy that did BoJack Horseman. It's on Netflix, and it's animated with let's see who's in it. It's a Paul Reiser, Lisa Edelstein, Abby Jacobson's in it as one of the voices. It's about a Jewish family, and it's over a 20 year period, and because it's animated, you can go back and forth all you want. And you follow this Jewish family from Northern California, going through the pandemic, going through marriages and breakups and divorces and illnesses. And you see these, and it goes back and forth in time. It's really funny. It's really interesting. The fact that they're dealing with the whole pandemic and what happens in schools and the mom getting sick, Lisa Edelstein. It's really well done. And it's a really interesting look at family and in a really clever way. So that was one of my odd ones. This just came out recently, but I really liked it a lot. Was Down Cemetery Road on Apple TV.
It's on my list.
Yep. From another Mick Herron novel, the guy who did this Slow Horses.
Yes.
And it stars Emma Thompson and Ruth Wilson. And Emma Thompson is, I guess, the brainier version, or the more, I don't know, version of what Gary Oldman is. Put together version of Gary Oldman in Slow Horses. And it's it's a mystery drama, and you have to save a little girl and save British civilization, same civilization from some undercurrent of bad guys in the military. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I'm not a big Emma Thompson fan. I'm not a big Ruth Wilson fan, but they were really good together. I really liked it.
They were. Yeah. So, I mean, it made my list. I mean, well, it was one of the things I watched, but I broke things down into excellent, almost great, good fun, cheese fest, and meh. So I put it in the good fun category.
It was good fun. Yes.
It wasn't great. It wasn't even almost great. It was just good fun. It was enjoyable.
Why don't we go another round with one show, and then we'll do it. Then we'll do a whiskey. Mike, do you have anything else?
You're just so picky.
I am
just so picky.
He is picky.
Meh. What's meh? Everything's meh.
You know. Before I go on, because this is a good time to do it. I had Slow Horses on my list too.
Oh, that's in the A category. That's an A.
Okay. Show. We'll come back to that. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, do you have anything else?
I watched the next season and now last season of FUBAR.
Oh, I want to go to that.
Which would be in the good fun category, I
suppose. Totally, yes.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger and Monica Barbaro. It was, I really enjoyed it. I don't understand why they cancel shows, but
yeah.
I guess when it's only me watching them, I can see why.
That'll do it.
I don't know what the cost is to bring these shows back, but I thought it was really good.
Yep. And you got another...
Let me move up to the meh category. So
why are we talking about meh?
I'm just going to mention them.
We don't do meh.
I'm just going to mention them. The Residents started off good, and then it just kind of got very tedious.
The Residents?
The Residents. That was the one where there's the murder in the White House.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't finish it.
It started off good, and then I got really bored with it, and I stopped. And then the White Lotus season 3, I made it to the end. It just never got going.
Great. That's on my list of things to watch.
Okay. Right. I will Thanks. Say.
Kill it for me.
I will say it's worth it just for Walton Goggins, because he is he's great. I mean, everybody was good in it. What's her name? Monahan. Michelle Monahan was great. Who's the other one? The one that's married to Tracy Letts. She was in the Leftovers and a bunch of other shows. I think she's on the Gilded Age right now. I can't think of her name, but anyway, I mean, the acting was great. And Parker Posey was really good. Schwarzenegger's kid was really good. So, but the storyline just never got going. I felt like it never went anywhere. So,
yeah.
And so those two are my meh list.
I don't really have a meh list. My list was a list of, like A's and B's, and then honorable mentions. So
My
honorable mentions are good. My honorable mentions here, I would say The English Teacher, season 2.
I didn't watch season 2. I watched season 1. Season 1 was fun.
Season 2 was fun as well. It might have been the funniest comedy I watched this year. The writing is so good. It's really, really funny. It was on Hulu. I heard it got canceled. It's not coming back for season 3.
Good. Then I can catch up on season 2 and not have to worry about it.
Yeah. With Brian Jordan Alvarez was the star and creator of it, but an English teacher at a high school in somewhere in Texas. and he's trying to get through the politics of school. He's gay, and he's got this crazy. There's a crazy group of people, you know, other teachers and counselors and the principal that are the main cast, plus a couple plus students. I mean, it's a kind of a formulaic thing that we've seen before, but it's dealing with a lot of current topics with kids on campuses. And it was just really, really good. Really fun. Really fun. English teacher. And the other one I had that would be down in this little world here would probably be, I don't want to put that one in there. I'm sorry, I'm scrolling a little bit here. Is The Diplomat. Let's say The Diplomat. Season 2 of The Diplomat. Right?
No, they're on season 3.
This was 3? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was
also
real...
on my list, and that's up in the
it
top
was
here.
Then we can save it. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. Another actress I'm not totally fond of, but she caught me in The Americans, and she's really good. What's her name?
Well, then you are fond of her. Just admit you're fond of her.
I'm becoming fond of her. Yes.
Just your team Felicity. Admit it.
I don't go that back. I don't go back that far with her. I'm sorry. But this year we've added a couple of interesting characters from The West Wing, she becomes president of
Allison Janney.
Janney. Yeah.
She's president, and her husband is Bradley Whitford, who is the he's the president, right? In The West Wing.
He's
vice president, right?
Deputy chief of staff.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So they are married, and then it's all in Britain, and don't want to give too much away, and you're going to talk about it later too. But it was a very good season as well. Season 3 of the Diplomat. And you know what's interesting about it? I want to just say this one thing. It's a really good political drama that doesn't have violence. There's no.
I don't know about that.
Not a whole lot. It's not. You're not getting. You know, like most of what you see out there. There's endless amounts of violence and shooting, and there's that's it's very small on this show. That's not where it's.
Well, I guess it was really only one big violent thing in the end of the first season.
And you most every other political like House of Cards. There's all kinds of violence, and there's mostly violence in a lot of political drama today. Mostly.
Yeah. Shows. A lot of it's off camera. How about that?
Yeah, that's true.
Because there are murders taking place. There are things happening.
But it's
there's
not
special forces being, you know.
There are, but you don't see. You're not seeing.
No, it's all off camera.
Yes, right? You're off. Yeah. Yep. So you're gonna see actors and act. You're seeing acting, yes, and not just special effects and things. Okay, we'll take a little break here. We will remind everyone this is What We Watch When We Drink, the 2025 television wrap up show. From your friends here at boozedancing.com. And we are moving on to another selection from the Impex family, which is a whiskey, I believe.
This
what do we got?
The Wolfburn Holiday Edition, 46% ABV.
Now, we have had Wolfburn before.
We have, and they're delicious. They're a relatively young distillery, aren't they?
I believe that's true, and I believe it was started by originally founded in 1821. It was brought back to, yes, old distillery. This version of it's pretty young. 1821, brought back to life after 150 years of being silent. I just like their logo.
Yeah, it's cool.
So this is what, the Wolfburn Holiday Edition?
For a second there, I thought it was that, you know, that, what's that thing in Rome with Romulus and Remus? Where they're like...
Lupa?
Yeah, whatever that was. So I thought it was first.
The Mother Wolf?
Lupa. Mother Wolf,
for a second, yeah. And I was like, okay.
So do you have anything about this one to...
Look, I mean, I assume it's this one here, the most wonderful time of the year.
That's probably it. Holiday edition, 46%.
Yes. Yeah. It says this limited edition bottling has been created to get the festive season off to a cracking start. Crafted from Wolfburn's signature smooth, sweet spirit, matured for a shade over 8 years. Ooh. It is the product of a marriage of two types of casks, Oloroso sherry hogsheads and first fill bourbon barrels. Tis the season to be merry. We hope you enjoy drinking it as much as we enjoy producing it. So that's all I got.
I get a little of that.
Ooh, wow.
Iced animal cracker, a little of that Glenfarclas.
Ooh, stuff,
wow.
To start it off.
I just got my nose. It's a little vapory, but it's good. Ooh, sweet. Kind of sweet. Light.
Very sweet.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Little totally. Glenfarclas-y.
Like, you know. Maybe like the icing on a nice ricotta cookie.
A nice ricotta cookie or like an iced animal cracker with that like
pinkish. A little bit of vanilla.
Yeah.
But there's something else. There's a little cinnamon. Like a little bit of cinnamon and spice coming.
Mm-hmm.
Also to go with that sugar. Yeah. I get it.
That's a good
one. Packs a punch. That's nice.
Does Aaron, have a anything punch. Else? 46, it does pack a punch. It really does.
Hmm.
Maybe did it say peated? I'm sorry, did it say peated? No.
I don't know, because it's got a little tobacco-y on the flavor.
Yeah, a little tobacco.
On the mouth. Well, like, tobacco, maybe a little chocolate.
Hmm?
Maybe a little cocoa, a little cocoa nibs.
Cocoa?
Cacao. Little cacao.
Cacao.
Cacao. Cacao.
Cacao.
Wow. It's really good. Mm. I like this. I like the balance of sweetness and that smoky tobacco thing.
Yeah, I'm getting like tobacco and chocolate. A little bit of that on the palate. It's nice. That's very nice.
Put a couple drops of water in it. You get a little bit more of that tobacco chocolate.
Yeah? All right, I'm trying that.
Tamps that a little of the sweetness.
Well, it's not that sweet.
No, just whatever. It maybe weights it a little more heavily towards that portion of it.
I add a little water here.
It's good.
That's good. Mm. Well, that is good. That's good. I like that. It does kind of bring out a little bit more of that cocoa kind of flavor.
Is this only for... Oh, I think I found it.
Let's see what the tasting notes said. Am I crazy?
The tasting notes are going to tell you whether or not you're crazy?
Yes.
What kind of notes do you have?
It says, you are insane. Ah, look at that. Juicy and mouthwatering, rich toffee and syrup flavors lead the way with overtones of cocoa and vanilla.
Yeah,
fruity sweetness coats the palate with autumn fruit and honey notes, leading to a warm, soft finish.
I see that.
Yeah, I get that. A little caramel. Yeah, sure. I mean, that could be, you know, the toffee could be like sort of like tobacco-y flavors.
I like the bottle label for the holiday edition.
It's so pretty. Yeah.
The most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, it's so festive.
It is. It's nice.
It's so festive.
And looks like a $100 bottle, $99.99 at Mission
$99.99.
Mission Liquor.
I will paint that house for $99.99.
It's like Earl Scheib, the car painter.
Earl Scheib.
$99.99. Do you have Earl Scheib in California?
We did.
Earl Scheib.
They were horrible. I think my dad took on that Earl Scheib. The paint started like coming off. It was like peeling off at the
moment. Mako and Earl Scheib.
In months.
What'd you want? It was $99.99.
Yeah, but $99.99, 20, 30 years ago. 40 years ago.
Today?
$99.99. That's like $500.
Is Earl Scheib still around?
That's a lot of money. Oh, I have no idea. Again, that was like 40 years ago.
Earl Scheib is...
Are you looking up?
Still around.
What?
Well, wait.
The company or the guy?
No, he's not alive. Started in 1937. Oh, they went out of business in 2010.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why. Hey, they were garbage.
You know, they were around for a long time.
Well, people were fools. What can you do? Anyway,
it was
all right, we digress.
LA company. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, delicious.
We are really, really good. That was the Wolfburn Holiday Edition.
It's the most wonderful time.
All right, we are going into some more TV from 2025.
More TV.
Who wants to start? Mike, Ange, pick one.
Well, you know what? You want me to just run down the good fun list, and then if something
run
jumps
down
out
the good
at us,
fun list.
All right. Sure. So I got a good bit on the good fun list. So Death by Lightning, which I watched recently.
I liked it. Mike, did you like that? Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
I think you would like that, Mike.
Didn't see it.
Dope
got two feet. Of my favorite things in it: Death and Lightning.
It was on my list too, Ange, and it's got such a great cast.
It does. The cast is great. It's
incredible.
It's okay.
It's only four episodes.
Yeah, I didn't love it, but it was very good. What's his name? It was great. I liked Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon's great. Matthew McFadden from...
Nick Offerman's
Nick
fantastic.
Offerman. And what's the guy that's in...
Is Bradley Whitford in it too?
Yeah. Bradley Whitford's in it, yes.
And what the hell? Eli? No, not Eli. What the hell? Eli was the character he played.
Betty Gilpin's in it, and Betty Gilpin. The guy from Boardwalk Empire.
Right, the brother.
The brother.
Damn it! You know, I never remember this guy's name.
I never remember his name either. Is
it's
it?
It's really annoying. I feel bad.
Is it?
I like him. He's great.
I don't know his name. Oh, is it Shea Whigham?
Yeah, it's it. Shea Whigham. He's in Perry Mason.
Perry Mason. That's right. Yeah.
He's in the first season of True Detective.
Yep.
He's in a lot of stuff. Anyway, let me run down this list real quick, and then we can go back and comment. So I got Death by Lightning, Dope Thief, which was on Apple TV Plus, Down Cemetery Road, Running Point, the one about like mock show of Lakers.
Yep.
Stick, Apple TV Plus, The Beast in Me, The Four Seasons, The Hunting Wives, The Rehearsal, Season 2, and Tires.
Ah, I forgot about Tires. That wasn't on it. Was that actually last year?
I remember the second season.
It was actually aired, in 2025?
Because it got renewed, and then the second season got aired in like May or something.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. Okay.
We did a show on it, right? We did Tires.
We did. And I Mike didn't realize it was last 2025. Yep,
Mike thought they were fools.
They shouldn't be in business.
Valley Forge, baby.
Business.
Valley Forge.
All right. That was
my list. Any comments?
What was the list again? I can't remember yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Tires. Okay, we talked about Tires. Yep.
Tires, The Rehearsal, Season 2. That was on HBO.
So The Rehearsal, I watched the very first episode from Season 1. It is so bizarre. And I haven't gone back to it after the first episode. And I want to go back to it. It feels like it's going to be a bit of work.
Well, you know what, though? Season 2 was interesting because they essentially kept with one storyline for the whole season.
The airplane thing, right?
Yeah, it was actually kind of interesting, though, because the whole thing was, I believe the whole thing was that, you know, like if you're like the senior pilot on the aircraft, you're essentially, you know, the co-pilot tends to defer even when the guy's making a bad decision.
Right.
And the whole thing was to kind of like make more teamwork, better communication.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff. And just how they went about it. It was interesting. It was actually really good. It was actually really, really good.
I think I would do The Rehearsal on an airplane. I mean, I would not because you said that, but I mean,
yeah,
I need dedicated time to sit with that show because there's so much other stuff. It's not my first choice to go.
Yeah,
let's go watch episode 2 of season 1.
Yeah. It was actually really interesting. And then what other shows? Well, yeah, The Beast in Me, which was...
Didn't watch it.
Interesting. I wouldn't say it was great, but I have to say that's what Matthew Rhys...
Oh, and
Claire Danes. Yeah. And who's the girl that was in The Hunting Wives? And she was in... The blonde. What's her name? And then she was on that other show. She was in Pitch Perfect, too.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
I can't think of her name. But anyway, she was good too. But I mean, it's not a great show. And it's got Mike from Breaking Bad.
Mike! Yeah. Sport. Yeah. Hey, sport shoes.
Yeah, so it was okay. It was all right. Matthew Rhys was great. Matthew Rhys was really, really good.
We like him.
Yeah, he was really good.
And,
I like Claire Danes like I like Leonardo DiCaprio, though.
Well, you know what? She can be
effective. There's a chance they're going to die in a show. I'm on board.
Yeah.
If they're going to live through it, I'm not a fan of the show.
She was effective.
There's a great comedian influencer. I don't know what's her job.
Oh, yeah. She does the Claire Danes
on Instagram. She does this great Claire Dane impression about just everyday stuff.
Everything. Like, she's
harried and over the top.
Like, oh, my God, what do you mean?
Crying.
What do you mean? I
got to go. The coffee maker's not going to work. Oh, my God. What? Or calling your mom.
It's just so great.
My opinion of Claire Danes. And if there's a chance she'll die in it, I'm on board.
Who is Claire Danes' mom?
Live through it.
Who's Claire Danes' mom?
In real life?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why,
famous
is she a
person.
Nepo baby?
Yeah, yeah, she is.
Oh, she is? Well, that's all right. Good for her.
Confusing her and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Am I? Claire Danes' mom is...
Did you watch The Four Seasons? Did either of you watch The Four Seasons?
I watched most of it. I didn't finish.
What's the guy's name? What's his last name? His last name is Domingo, right? What's his first name? I can't think of his name.
Coleman?
Yeah, Coleman Domingo. He's really good on the show. He's really, really good on the show. I mean, it was okay. It wasn't great, but it was pretty good. And it actually followed the plot of the movie pretty well.
The movie fairly well. Yeah.
Fairly well, but except it told it over, 4 hours as opposed to like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So, but it was okay. It was good. It was a decent show. Didn't love it, but it was, good fun.
What else?
All right, let's move to your next category.
Well, no. You go for a little bit.
We're hitting on all the shows that we've watched.
Oh, okay. All right. So we had Death by Lightning.
What's your next category?
Dope Thief was okay. It was worth it for Brian.
I like Dope Thief a lot.
Did you watch it with Brian Tyree Henry, the one shot in Philly?
Yes, I liked it a lot.
It was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I watched it to the end. It could have been, probably could have been a little better, maybe.
Of that genre, I thought it was pretty good.
I thought the acting was great. I liked Brian Tyree Henry. I liked the other guy. Now, the other guy, was he the guy that played?
I think I didn't know.
Was he in?
His partner.
The Pablo Escobar thing? Was he Pablo Escobar?
I didn't see it.
But that's who he was. I think he played Pablo Escobar.
And I liked the cop.
The one from Jesus Christ, my mind is shot. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah, the one that was with Margot Martindale and
yes,
yeah, right, and Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes, that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Maren Ireland.
Yeah, she was very good.
Wagner Moura is the guy you're thinking of, I think, and I don't know who that guy is.
He was in.
He looks so familiar Smith
too.
He was? Yeah, he was. Yes. He's the same Mr. He's like the other Mr. Smith.
Right.
Right.
And he was the one that was with Parker Posey.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And he is Pablo Escobar.
He is. Oh, is that right? I did not know that. Kate Mulgrew's in this too. And she's really good. I liked her.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was in my top for the year. I don't know, whatever. Top number good. Of shows.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I watched it. I'm just saying, it was like it could have been a little bit, maybe a little bit better. It wasn't quite top tier. Oh, and then I got my Cheese Fest. My Cheese Fest. Really cheesy shows.
What's
Reacher
that?
Season 3.
I didn't get through.
Not as good as the other seasons.
Did I get through it?
No, it was better than the second, but not as good as the first.
I thought this one was. He was a little too unstoppable.
Yeah, well, he's Reacher. He's supposed to be.
And
then there's another show, Ransom Canyon.
That
was also pretty cheesy. What's her name is in it? Girl that was on Friday Night Lights. Will what the hell's her name? Whatever. Anyway, it was okay. It was okay. It was entertaining, but it was cheesy. It was very cheesy.
What got above the good fun? What's the next one up?
All right, the next one up from Good Fun, Almost Great.
Almost Great.
Almost
what
great.
Do you got?
I got Hacks Season 4.
Yeah.
Mobland.
Oh, Mobland.
Enjoyed. Don't get me wrong.
I did too.
But it was almost borderline Cheese Fest. Tom Hardy brings it to excellent. Everybody else kind of takes it down a little bit of a notch. I mean, Pierce Brosnan and Helen Mirren were fun.
Helen Mirren takes a show down a notch.
I mean, they were just over the top.
How dare you, sir?
They were over the top.
How dare you?
I mean, how's this? When you compare and contrast the Tom Hardy character and then his buddy, the other guy, and then you get Pierce Brosnan and Helen Mirren that are chewing up the scenery like nobody's business. It was fun, don't get me wrong.
Wow.
But they bring it to like almost camp.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Aaron, am I off base here?
I enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I might want to get season two, but yeah.
I don't believe we're talking about Dame Tom Hardy, but Dame Helen Mirren, and you're saying
Hardy was tremendous. The show was worth it just for Hardy. Hardy was awesome.
I like that Pierce Brosnan and Helen Mirren will do a show like this.
Oh, yeah. They were having fun.
I love that.
They were having fun.
No, they're at the point in their careers where they can say, I'm not doing a TV show. I'm going to do a movie and I'll do a cameo and I'll do something on PBS and that's it. But this is like, I don't know that I call it cheesy, but it's, it's a mob show. They're shooting them up thing.
They
right?
were cheesy. The show itself.
Yes.
They can just say, sure, why the hell not?
Yeah.
I love that they say yes to this stuff.
Okay.
They're not then, above it.
Then we got Sirens, which I really enjoyed. That was actually good fun.
Yeah.
It was also a little cheesy, but it was
cheesy, yeah.
But it was good. It was really, really good. And it kept me guessing a little bit. Task. I didn't think it quite made it to excellent, but I think it was good fun. It was almost great.
Well, on your recommendation, I got the ladies to watch that.
And
they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But they liked it so much, they then watched Mayor of Easttown.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I didn't think it was as compelling as Mayor of Easttown.
Yeah, no, but it's watched them both. It's I found it compelling differently, right?
Well,
it's,
like it's, I said, these, almost great.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, they enjoyed it.
I mean, Tom Pelfrey was great. Mark Ruffalo. All the acting was good. It was just something about it that just didn't quite.
When isn't Ruffalo great?
Ah, Ruffalo's awesome. I like Ruffalo a lot. Task, The Bear season 4.
Yep.
Better than season 3. Not quite as good as, almost on par with season 2. And no way near season 1.
Season 1, yeah.
Season 1 was by far the best. And then we got Your Friends and Neighbors.
Which we all watched.
Which I really enjoyed. I loved it.
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't put it in my top for the year.
No, well, I did.
I wouldn't put it in my top 25.
I like that show a lot. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. And again, it was all about Amanda Peet and John Hamm and the other guy.
And my wife is so bad with the names of shows, she just kept referring to it as The Hamm Show. Let's watch The Hamm Show. And you had to think for a minute, like, what are you even talking about?
Is that a cooking show?
It's The Hamm Show. Okay.
Can you get eggs with that? Can you get a ham and eggs?
Watching The Hamm Show.
So that was my almost great categories.
Mike? Comments, thoughts.
Go to the next category.
Oh, all right. Wait. We still got another whiskey to go. We got another whiskey to go. So why don't we want
to
take a?
We'll take a break before we get to the big stuff.
Yeah, let's take a break. Get to the other one, and then we'll just go on a tear.
Does anyone watch actual network television?
I basically don't.
I still watch Grey's Anatomy and the two NCIS shows, which I thought were all good this year.
I had no. I said I had this list. I had no network shows.
Yeah.
And
so no one's watching Abbott Elementary anymore?
I'd like to get back to it. I love season 1 and I started to really like season 2, but then it kind of
That's on ABC?
Yeah. ABC.
Yeah, but you can watch it on Hulu. And I think you could actually watch it on HBO, which is great because there's no commercials. Oh. So you could really blast through it. Yeah, you could blast through it really fast. But it's a fun show. Season 2 started off great.
Yeah.
Like it was just the whole thing with the Eagles almost not a tailgate party, but
is it a Philly show?
Well, not.
Yeah, it's Philly show.
It's supposed to be.
It's a set in Philly.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but it's not filmed in Philly.
No, I meant set in Philly.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of fun.
And as the
Charlie Ralph TV shows, right?
Watch the shows with the kids. I'm watching Percy Jackson, The Olympians.
Lisa, my wife, loves it. She's watching it too.
Another show dropped tonight. We were going to watch it again.
Yeah.
We watched all of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
My son had nothing to do, so he watched from the beginning all of it. So he watched to the end. And then my other son came back from college and then did the same thing. So we basically watched Stranger Things twice during the break. And we watched the second season of Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was
fun. It's not high cinema, but it was a lot of fun. And your boy Buscemi was in that one. Uh-huh. Talk about chewing some scenery.
Ooh, he takes up a lot of he takes up a lot of air. Yeah,
no, that's all right. I think he had fantastic hair.
But he had fantastic hair in it.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He did have a fantastic good wig. Hair. Yes, he did.
Fantastic hair. So let's do the next whiskey.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I mean, this is a little different from prior years where we would actually rank them like top 10. But
if I had my list.
Much. There's just too much. There's just too much. But my excellent list, is probably 10 or 11 shows.
I'll give you mine.
It seems as if our two lists are sprinkled somewhere in your list. So.
Yeah,
I got 11 shows on my excellent list. Of the things, I watched, there's stuff
that
I haven't.
That sounds like you might be an easy grader. That seems like too many A's.
No, you'll see. We'll see.
All right. Okay. We are going to take a little break here. Mm-hmm.
Whiskey number 3.
Whiskey number 3. Whiskey,
beverage number 3.
So again, this is
whiskey and whiskey.
From the
Impex this is
family.
From the Impex collection. It is from the Royal Bracla Distillery. It is 12 years old. Cask type is a hogshead, so I guess that's sherry, right? But I guess they don't tell you whether it's first fill, second fill, whatever.
This is a single cask.
Yes. Selected by our dear friend, Sam Filmus. This was distilled on 5/17, 2011. Bottled 5/30, 2023. Cask number 11000245. 58% ABV. So that's all I got. I mean, I got tasting notes, but I'll skip that.
I'm not gonna look this, that. This smells vapory.
Does it? I don't know.
58%.
Ooh, yeah, definitely.
I'm getting some vapors.
Definitely vapory. Yeah, but you gotta push past that, right?
Yep.
All right, let's see what we got here. Let me give it a little swirl. Wow.
I'm getting a little vanilla.
Very vapory, like you said.
Maybe a little a little butterscotch.
I don't know. It's tough to get past the vapors. I get a little fruit, though. I get like almost like apples.
You get apples in everything.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Apples in the brain, man.
I just had an apple. I did have an apple tonight.
Pray on your hands.
I had a fishwife sardines with the hot chili oil.
Oh, I can't eat that one. It's too hot.
It wasn't that hot. Well, you got it all. You put stuff on it. You put bread, mayo, tomato, a little arugula.
I'm not allowed to eat that in the house. I gotta eat outside.
It's so good. So good. So apparently, you got to eat 2 tins of sardines a week.
Who said that?
Get all the benefits. I don't know. Some TikTok thing.
Oh, interesting.
A reel on Instagram.
I do that. I'll do that 2 in a night.
I would imagine that's probably not true once RFK comes out with the new food pyramid.
No canned food.
It's just all meat.
Oh, please.
That's probably ultra processed. So, please. You know, you can't have it.
You know, maybe if he went to the doctor, he wouldn't talk like that. How about that? Or didn't he have a stroke or something?
Sure.
Who knows what he had?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's all the cocaine.
Anybody else, I give him a pass, but he's annoying me. So, Yaha. What is it? Yaha? Aha. What is that thing called?
Maha.
Maha. Make America healthy again?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Wait, stop. We're gonna go on a tangent.
Make America hammered again.
Can we rewind that again? That's just take it. A sip. I like just that. That's us. Sip.
That's us.
Just take That's a sip.
That's us. Maha. Wow. No, we're no, we are. We're Gaha. Get America hammered again.
Boom. That's us.
Gaha. Well,
you're complaining, but they just came out and said that the 1 to 2 drinks at a time.
Yeah, that's not a thing anymore.
Twice a week is not a thing anymore.
Drink all you want.
And you should be able to have as many beverages as you want.
There you go.
Sponsored by the American Distillers Council.
That's right. Well, I saw the
Brewers Association.
One of those, I saw one of some website today. One of the spirits websites made a comment about this. You know, not like going crazy saying, you know, let's overindulge. But you know, this is the spirits world has had a tough time the last couple of years because people are drinking, you know, more healthily and or less. So this is not a horrible thing in America.
Hmm.
That is quite anesthetizing.
This is not
it's powerful.
This is not. It's funny you said that. I don't think it tastes as hot as 56. We 56.
I feel 58.
58.
Like
really?
I think I got it on the tip of my tongue though. I'm a little anesthetized.
Yeah, but in a nice way.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't drinking it.
Well, that's nice. I like that. That's really.
I just can't form words anymore.
You never could. What are you talking about?
Well, that's hurtful.
No, it's just honest. I don't truth I'm not hurts. I'm not truthful.
The truth
I'm
hurts.
I am matter of fact. My therapist says I'm matter of fact.
Who's your therapist?
My massage therapist, Rob.
Boom bum ba-dum, bum. Wow. It does not
Dr. Bombay.
It does not talk.
Freud, Sigmund Freud.
It doesn't taste 58 to me. You guys think it's really hot?
It's peppery. It's a little.
I didn't find it hot even in the finish, but I found the tip of my tongue was a little kind of caught right there and anesthetized a little.
My
bit.
Gums like are nice. A little tingly. I like it.
Yeah,
I really like it.
It's nice. I like that. I can go for some dental work right now.
This will do it. This could.
I was a drinker.
So this is interesting. It's not the kind of whiskey I would go to. Not the one I would. You know, this is not my go-to. It's not peated, right?
It's not smoky, right?
It's not smoky. Right. But maybe forget the 58 for a second. This is just a solid whiskey I would just sit and drink with. And I don't mean like, you know, tons of it, right? It's not a session kind of thing. But it's very clean. It's got a little bit of brightness to it. Mm-hmm.
You know, it says hogshead, but that, I mean, it could be like third fill.
Yeah, I don't get a whole lot of sherry.
No, I'm not getting a lot of sherry on it at all.
Do we, I'm sorry, what year? 12-year-old? 12-year-old.
Yeah, 12 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a really old hogshead, so we don't, you know, get that influence. Well, nice. Look at the color. It's not.
Yeah, it's very light.
It's light.
Very light.
I like it. I really like it.
What does Brackle go in? Is that the one? Is that one of the ones that goes in the Doers? Not Doers. What's the other one?
I don't know.
Chivas?
Chivas, I think. Yeah.
It goes in the Chivas?
Okay. That sounds right.
Yeah. I think. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've heard of
it. It's owned by Doers.
Oh, it is?
It's owned by Doers.
But I don't see where it says it goes into it. It just is owned by
them. I'm sure it does. If they own it, why would they not own it? Why would they own it otherwise?
I don't know if they release independent, you know, single bottles of that instead of using it in the blends.
Well, maybe they do in, the UK. It might not make it here.
Possible.
So who knows? Who knows? That's good. I really like that. That's really, really good.
Thank you.
Read Lovely Spirits. They never steer us wrong, do they?
It's a fun one. No. And that, you said Sam picked that one?
That's what it says here. Picked by Sam.
Well, we know Sam. He's got a good.
You think? He knows a thing or two about whiskey?
He does.
You think he has a? You think he has a very, very influential and successful import business?
Yes.
With maybe 40 brands.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many they have now.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot.
He's okay.
Oh, we love the guy. We love him.
Yeah, you know what? There might be like 40 between, between the whiskeys and the rums.
Yep.
And then the Jaeger spirits.
Plus they do their own. This one this is its own brand. The Impex Collection is a separate brand, right? Yeah. And I assume they're going to be when that new distillery. I hope when that new distillery opens up in Isla. That the Whiskey Exchange guys own, or Sukinder, I hope, because that's under the whole Port Askig and Black Tot. I hope Sam will be the importer.
I'm sure
that'll be exciting. That's a peated stuff, and then in Tormore too. I think right. I think they own that as well.
Not sure.
Okay, back to TV. So what were we going to do here? So we're going to finish up with...
read off my excellent list?
You want to read your excellent list?
Run down your excellent list.
All right, I'm just going to run them off.
Come back to my...
Well, we'll stop you when we're...
Okay, and they're alphabetical. So Adolescence.
Great show.
American Primeval.
Yeah. I didn't put it in my top 25, but it was really good. I really enjoyed that.
It was very good. Department Q.
Great show.
Everybody's Live with John Mulaney. Highly enjoyable.
Yeah, I know you like that one. I didn't get into it.
Oh, it was so good. Mr. Scorsese, the little 6-part documentary on Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Shorzy, season 4.
Excellent.
Now, I don't know, was it seasons 4 and 5 of Slow Horses last year or just 5? I can't keep track because they do a couple releases a year.
I think it was just...
the last one we saw 5.
I think it was 5 broke up.
Okay. All right.
I think.
I don't know. Okay, so Slow Loved Horses.
It. Loved it.
That was awesome. Diplomat season 3.
Loved it.
The Lowdown.
No, it didn't make my top 25.
The Pit.
I really enjoyed The Lowdown. And seeing how it tied up at the end rather quickly, all the different things that happened were quite interesting.
And today was announced that Lowdown is coming back for season 2.
Awesome. And then we got The Pit season 1.
Love it.
And of course... The Studio.
Yes.
So that's the list. I think if I had to pick one show that I really, really, really surprised me how much I liked it from beginning to end, because I really didn't start watching it. I jumped on the bandwagon later with Diplomat. I really enjoy that show. I would actually go back and start it over again.
Well, I think it's really different. I mean, I talk about this with the violence thing. I think it is different than so many of these... So much of TV, especially with political stuff, it's just so much violence. It's just on-screen violence, right? There's none, virtually none. And I think it's really about the acting and about the story. That's what I think really makes it unique. Yeah, the acting is great. The stories are good too. It gets a little, it gets a little House of Cardsy, I think, in season three about,
all
of a sudden the president dies and just out of the blue, and she becomes president, Allison Janney, and then what's her name becomes vice president, and she's also going to be vice president and she's going to be ambassador. Okay, that's a little bit kind of crazy. That wouldn't probably happen.
Well, we don't want to spoil it, but she was not the vice president.
Right. Yes. But it gets a little, right. Her husband.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, what I like about the show is the acting's great. I love the energy. It's just constantly.
I love it.
Like, there's really no like dull moments in the show.
No, yeah. I think it's great.
And no deadwood in the cast.
No.
Nope. No. Really good.
Everybody's good from top to
bottom. Not that everybody isn't already good, but everybody's got something to do.
What is her husband's name? Real name?
Rufus Sewell.
Oh, love that guy.
Oh, he's great. He's so good.
He's so slimy.
And much like Succession, I put it in the same category, they know how to do a season-ending cliffhanger.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Every single time. It's great.
They do. It's so much fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah. I can't remember what was on that list because I know it kind of overlaps into mine a bit.
Department Q.
Love it.
You convinced me to finally. I didn't like it at first. Then I gave it a shot, and I think I watched it on my flight back from Spain. It was just awesome. It was just so good.
As I've said a million times on this podcast, that I love the British crime drama with the screwed up cop. And the cop is having to deal with his own crap as well as trying to solve a murder or solve some crime.
Although technically the showrunner is American, right? It's the guy that did...
American Primeval guy. It is
the Queen's Gambit guy.
Queen's Gambit guy. Yeah.
And also Monsieur Spade.
He's also
right?
Yeah, he is. Department Q.
And that other one, the one with the Western show.
That's what I was thinking of, that one.
Yeah, what the hell is that one called?
That is called
Godless.
Godless, yes.
Which was great. That was really good.
That was really good. Yes. That was really I would actually go back to that.
I almost did. That was very good.
Yeah. What else was in there, Ange? What else do you have there?
Department Q, Everybody's Live, Mr. Scorsese, Shorzy, season 4.
Okay.
Season 5 is coming out soon.
It's coming out this month. Or it might be February. So it's already out in Canada.
Canada, right.
Right. It's got released, I believe, on Christmas Day, I think, on Crave. And then it'll be on Hulu sometime, I think, this month. I can't speak enough about how great that show is.
It's so good.
And it's a great comedy. It's season 4 is about the off season.
You know what, Aaron? I would run a marathon for you.
It's a love story, as you point out there.
It's so good.
It's about an aging athlete and what he's going to do with the rest of his life. It's about teaching another generation. It is, to me, the best sports comedy maybe ever on TV. I don't know how many levels better than Ted Lasso to me, but much better than Ted Lasso. And I like Ted Lasso.
This is a much more efficient show.
It's more efficient.
It's a much tighter show.
Yes. I think I told you that I was, this comes from the Letterkenny folks.
Yes.
And it's actually a character from Letterkenny. And I've been listening to a Letterkenny podcast. And from two of the people that were in the original Letterkenny, Jared Kiso's sister in the show and another character. And they've had on various people from Letterkenny. Talking about the way that was filmed. If you watch Letterkenny, it's filmed very oddly. And the reason it was filmed very oddly, and I think some of that falls into the style, into Shorzy, is they only had so much money. And so they could only film, they would film literally an entire season like in 3 weeks. And it's all out of order for the actors, right? They're just getting pages and pages and pages and pages of dialogue. And but it's not filmed in the order of the shows. And I think, I don't know that that's true for this, for Shoresy, but I sense it's similar. It's really difficult kind of way to work, I think. And these actors are just amazing that they can do this. I also love the hockey part of all of it. The hockey part of it, it's hard to do, make sports on a show look realistic. How often do we look at
like running point, the basketball on that show? It's not so good.
It's never great.
This almost makes me want to watch hockey. Almost.
The hockey stuff, because these guys really play hockey. They're real hockey players, right?
Oh, speaking of, I saw Ted Hitchcock. He was in a fan. He was in a FanDuel or an MGM betting ad on YouTube.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was like, sellout.
So the group of those guys, the cast, they do this really cool thing. The group of the Shoresy guys, they do a charity hockey game against alumni of. Well, if they're in Boston, they're playing the alumni of the Bruins. If they LA, they play the Kings alumni for charity. They were just here like 2 weeks ago in LA. And so these guys are real players. Some have real NHL experience. Some guys have high minor league experience. And it shows in the hockey footage. They really do that really well. I should add, I haven't watched this yet, but the guy who directed all of the episodes of Letterkenny and I believe all the episodes of Shoresy has a new show out on Netflix called Heated Rivalry.
Do you know about this? I started watching the first episode.
I have not yet. It's a hockey-centric show, and I want to watch that as well. So I can't talk enough about Shoresy. I think it's great. We need to get Jason, what's his name? Jason Matuz. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Jason Mantzoukas.
We need to get him on our show.
Mantzoukas. Yeah, Jason Mantzoukas.
Jason, come on . We love to talk to about Shoresy.
He's got a good name too.
No, we need to have JJ.
JJ Frankie.
JJ. Yes.
Jean-Jacques Frankie Jacques Jean.
What else do you have on your list?
Something Jacques Jean. Right. Shoresy Slow Horses, obviously.
Slow Horses is great. It's so
fantastic. Last season was so good.
It is so good. I mean, they have. I don't even know where to start. How good it is. It's just so good. It's fun, it's thrilling. It's got violence. It is just good television. I mean, I don't know how else you. It's just good television.
Yep,
just good television.
It's great. It's just so good. And I mean, you know, what's his name? It's just worth watching. It's just for Gary
and Nick Mohammed was in it this year.
That's right. I was going to say
Ted Lasso.
They got the Apple TV Plus connection.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the Apple money coming in.
Yep.
And then of course we've got The Pitt. Season 2 starts what, this week?
Tomorrow, I think.
It drops tomorrow night.
Yeah. So
this is on HBO Max.
I got my daughter to watch that.
Did you watch it at all, Mike?
We watched the first episode, but then you know we've got busy with other stuff.
It's intense.
I gotta get her to watch it.
It gets very intense.
Tell me what she thinks.
I was on the fence at first because it felt like, you know, they were like making the show by the numbers.
Right.
You know, like ticking off the boxes and all this kind of stuff. But then once it starts to get moving, I mean, Noah Wiley is really fantastic.
Yeah.
And he should clean up in awards because he was really good.
I hope so. Yeah.
He was really, really good. I'm not saying it was my favorite show of the year.
It's a deep field, though. It's a deep field.
It is, but
it's a deep field.
He was really good.
I think it's really beautiful that, you know, he was on that show 30 years ago, ER, that really maybe set the bar for medical dramas.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he's come full circle back to a show that's elevated the medical drama to a whole different level. Yeah. It's really.
And he goes from the wide eyed, right out of school guy.
Oh, he's grizzled veteran. Right. Totally. Yeah. Yes. We need a veteran presence.
Dr. Robbie,
he's a tough native.
Yeah, it's really, it's so good. And then, you know, you can argue, what was that show on Fox, 24? That the whole clock thing gets a little annoying, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know how realistic it really is.
I don't know, but it didn't bother me. It you know, you have to, yeah. like, you have to definitely push aside the reality that, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's an inner city hospital, right? It's a level one trauma center. So just going by the few hospital experiences I've had in the city of brotherly love,
yep.
You can go to the non-level one trauma center, which can be busy, but it's like normal stuff.
Yeah.
You know, not normal, but it's like, you know, heart attacks, maybe like a fall, whatever.
No gunshot.
The other one.
Yeah.
Then you get the other one, gunshot wounds, homeless people.
Yep.
You know, I'm in there and there's the guy. I'm not going to name names. But, you know, I may be employed by one of these places. But, you know, you've got the guy who's coming in from the prison in the orange jumpsuit in like hand and you know, with two police officers because something happened and they got to treat him. It's absolute mayhem. So, you know, you're waiting in, you know, I sprained my ankle once. I was like 5 hours in the ER waiting in the waiting room. So anyway, so maybe it's true, especially on a weekend night.
Well, I think there was enough that came out when it first came out from the medical community, people that worked in level one trauma or just in emergency rooms, who said this is the most accurate portrayal of what we go through on a daily basis. And not just the physical stuff, the mental grind, the anguish, what these people have in their own lives.
Right.
Right. You know, drugs or family and whatever, that there's, and having to do crazy, crazy medical procedures
on the fly.
If I didn't hear that this was like very realistic, I think, oh yeah, it's a good TV drama, but it feels like, from what other people have said, this is really like being in the war, being in it. And they hit a lot of things that are, you know, what, mass shootings and what, measles outbreak and things that are in the news today. Yep. And I'm assuming this next year will be, this new season will be, probably they'll hit some big topics too.
And so this is, I think it opens up, what, 6 months later or 9 months later?
I don't know that.
Something like that.
Yeah. I we got sucked into it. And it was definitely a show that we looked forward to on a weekly basis because you couldn't stream it. You couldn't binge it.
Right.
And when it came out, we can't wait. Let's go. Let's go.
It was very good. It was really, really good.
Yep. Yep. It was my number one show. If I had to pick a number one show, it was the number one show for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. I think if I had to pick a number one, it might be, it'd be tough. It might be a couple ties. I really like The Studio.
Yeah, I'd probably pick The Studio.
I really like The Diplomat. I really enjoyed Shorzy. I like them all. That's why they're all on the excellent list.
All right, so let's...
Of the new, I'd probably go Studio.
So let's talk Studio then.
There isn't a bad member of the cast.
There's not a bad member of the cast.
No, and it's the perfect use of Seth Rogen and his insane laugh.
It is, yes.
And his, you know, you can tell he's...
That's really not acting.
With the other guy in it, Ike...
Ike Barinholtz? Oh, my God, Barinholtz. He was so good.
No, they're actually really good friends.
They really are.
Because how well they play together.
Yeah.
And Catherine O'Hara, for as camp as she was in her last role, she's really good in this one.
She's great. Really good.
Catherine Hahn is great.
Oh, Catherine Hahn's fantastic. She's insane.
She's got a filthy mouth.
She is. What, and Chase Swee Wonders, I think her name is. She's their assistant
admin.
Yeah, admin, but who
and
moves
don't
up?
Don't forget the reliever, Bryan Cranston.
And Bryan Cranston, yes.
Coming in, you know, the closer.
Yes.
The closer.
And,
and the other two people playing themselves, just exaggerated versions of themselves.
Right. So, yeah.
Who is, and there,
Zoe Kravitz,
Dave Franco. Yeah, and Ron Howard.
And Martin Scorsese.
And Martin Scorsese. Well, he was in season one. Was he in season episode two? One. He's in
episode
one. What do you mean season? There is only one season.
This is the only season. This is the first season of the studio.
Oh, right. That's right. Yes, that's right.
Did you just buy my movie to kill it?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and Charlize Theron, wasn't it? Yeah. First episode too?
Get out.
It is so funny. I mean, it's crazy. It's an homage to Hollywood, yet it skewers Hollywood at the same time.
Yep. Yeah.
right? And it makes fun of the big stuff. It makes fun of the little stuff. And it really is a love letter to filmmaking and to acting. The Seth Rogen character is, you know, just this, what, pie in the sky, old romantic about movie making.
And I think he's naive about the behind the scenes piece.
Very much so.
Of all the, you know.
He's
how does this get done? Well, this is why it doesn't get done.
That's right. He's naive about the financing. He's naive about, you know, writers and directors and casting. And he's just, it's, oh my gosh, what was the name of the actress in that first the episode where they're trying to find the perfect shot? The one
oh,
shot.
Oh yeah. What's her name? Yeah, I know what you mean. I can't think of it. Olivia something?
No.
They're going to get the winner.
Yeah, the winner.
Olivia Wilde.
Oh, no, I know what you mean.
Oh, not that one. Cool. The one up on the...
Yeah, the Canadian girl.
Oh, when they're trying to get the sunset.
The sunset, yeah, one up on the hill. Yeah, the palisades.
She's the Canadian actress.
You know, there's only one of them.
There's only one.
No, but I mean,
it's just... It's so good. And yes, you're right. Seth Rogen is like the perfect vehicle for him.
Oh my God. And then the music is just relentless.
The music is absolutely relentless. Yes.
It is absolutely relentless.
It's almost.
It's manic. It's almost Marx Brothery.
I was just going to say that. Yes. It's very Marx Brothery. And there's.
He's Marx Brother.
He's always falling. He's always, you know, he's Dick Van Dyke ish in this. He's getting hit. Not making this up. Pie in the face always is hitting Seth Rogen, right? And he's the guy that puts on his pants and the pants split or, you know, slips on the banana peel. He is just so good. I can't imagine this show not taking a lot of awards coming here with award season coming out. It's great. This is great. If I have to say The Pit and this are one and 1A or back and forth.
Yeah, again, it was tough because there were just... Now, there's stuff I would never rewatch. I don't think I would rewatch The Pit season one.
Mm.
I would rewatch The Studio. I wouldn't rewatch Adolescence, although I really enjoyed it.
I might rewatch.
Well, enjoyed is relative. Enjoyed is relative because it was very uncomfortable, but it was really good. You know, I'd go back and watch Department Q in a heartbeat. I'd watch American Primeval again.
Yep.
So, you'd watch all of Shoresy again?
Oh. Please, I have. Almost did.
As you already have.
I've done it three times.
I watched the third one in this episode.
It's
this
like season. There's like a couple shows that I can just watch over and over again. I'll put that on. Yeah. I'll put on Fleabag. I'll put on like that Love Life. I'll put that on because it's like just turn it on. Just let it go. Put your head up. It's like, oh, this is so good.
May I hit some ones we haven't hit?
No, we're done.
Okay.
Yes, come on.
All right. So... this will be in no great order because we've hit a lot of the ones we've already that were on my list. But North of North on Netflix, it was a little small town romantic comedy filmed in Nunavut, Canada.
Okay.
Way up near the Arctic Circle, about this small little town with this the stars like a. Single, she wants to get away from her husband who's kind of holding her back, and she wants to do more for this little town that her family's from. Her mom's has gotten sober and they've had mom-daughter issues, and she tries to get her life kind of like Mary Tyler Moore, trying to get her life together with her daughter and try to make this town a little bit better, and it's in the middle of nowhere. And it's a little bit of Northern Exposure. It's a little bit of fish out of water, even though she's a fish in the water, she knows, but she wants to be out on her own. Really good. And it's a great, and also gets into some conversations about the way the Indigenous community has been treated in Canada over the years. It's really fun. On Netflix, by the way, North of North. Couple other ones that I had. We didn't really talk about the Adolescence, how good that is.
Oh, it's very good.
It's really good. And also one that deserves every accolade that it's going to get. It was so good. And it leads me to a show not somewhat kind of connected. same star, a star, is what's the dad's name in
Stephen Graham.
Stephen Graham. 1,000 Blows on Hulu. Okay. from the Peaky Blinders guy. Oh. And this is a show with a lot of violence. It's a lot of violence. And this
what's
is
it around, called?
1,000 Blows. 1880s East London.
Oh, yeah. I think I started watching that briefly, but I didn't go back to it.
It's Hulu, right? And it's a little bit of a mob movie, but in the 1880s in ugly East London. And
you know, like boxing involved, the two black
there's boxing involved, the two characters come from Jamaica trying to make some, you know, make their livelihood in London, and they get into the sport of kings, the fist, you know, boxing at the time. And Erin Doherty, who's also in adolescence, she is the prosecutor. Oh, she's the therapist.
Okay.
In that one episode with the kid in adolescence. Yeah. She is the kind of a ringleader of this women's mob group in 1,000 Blows. It's really good. And gosh, you know, Stephen Graham is just... Stephen Graham's wife's in it too. Stephen Graham's wife's in, I believe she's also in, she plays his wife, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that's his wife in Adolescence too. Very good. Highly recommend it. We talked about Death by Lightning. The Pee Wee Herman documentary. Pee Wee himself on HBO. Good. Really good. Really, really good. I was a Pee Wee fan. Getting to hear Pee Wee in his own words up to his death. He died shortly before this was finished. And he, you know, he was a guy who didn't want to, he played a character in life and to the point of being totally absorbed by it. And he never admitted to being gay and never admitted to having cancer. And he just had this big wall up. And he's really great. He's really great being interviewed in this. If you want to learn about Pee Wee, that's on HBO. We talked about The Bear, Department Q. I really like The American Revolution. Just came out on PBS, the newest Ken Burns documentary. If you're looking for a documentary to watch this year.
I thought it was predictable.
Yeah, we know who wins.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Don't bet on it. Going back to our boy Seth Rogen. In my top 10, I have Platonic.
I haven't watched it.
It's really good. So it's about Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. They are friends from college. And they in season one, they get back together. They have been apart for a bit. And she's now married to an attorney. And they've got three or four kids, I think, and a dog. And she's trying to, you know, figure out what she wants to do with her life. Seth Rogen is this crazy guy who's back. He's got a brewery in downtown LA with a couple partners, and he hasn't grown up at all. He dresses like a crazy person in college. It is another Seth Rogen vehicle where Seth Rogen is Seth Rogen, and they have this kind of odd relationship. They're friends. It's platonic. But they know each other back and forth. And she calls him out on crap, and he calls her out on crap. And season two, he has sold off his brewery, and he's going to maybe marry the daughter of the company that bought the brewery, and it falls apart. And Rose Byrne, she's tired of him, you know, having all these problems and never facing up to all of his problems. And she kind of dumps him. They get back together, of course. But it's really good. And she's a very underrated comedic actress, I think, Rose Byrne.
I think they were good in Neighbors.
They were really good in Neighbors.
And Neighbors 2.
And Neighbors 2.
Where they play off one another. So yes. I can only imagine how good that is to see them in yet another vehicle where they're doing the same thing.
And this is a Nick Stoller vehicle.
Which is the guy they're trying to get in the studio.
it all comes together. Yes.
It's all lining up. Again, if you get a chance to work, why not work with your friends, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so that
so what's our excuse?
That's
I
right.
I wish I had some friends. I got nothing.
A couple odd ones I might have brought up during the year. Such Brave Friends, Such Brave Girls on BBC. I saw it, I think it was on Prime or Hulu. Really fun British show about a mom and two daughters and their toxic relationships. Really fun. The Eastern Gate, I would recommend this too. It's on HBO Max. It's a Polish political drama, spies, very, very in the now about Russian intervention into Poland and into Belarus. Really, really good. And The Eternaut on Netflix. I think I talked about this one too.
It's which one's that?
I don't know how you pronounce it. The Eternaut, E-T.
Oh, is that the one in South America?
In Buenos Aires, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the end of the world. It's based on a comic from the 1950s.
Right. Yeah,
a killer snow wipes out everything, and the survivors have to figure out how to manage their lives.
Okay.
It's very good.
Oh, and it sounds funny.
It's hilarious. And I think that was all I had. Yeah, that's it. Those were all my, and somewhere in there is my top 25. That's it. I don't know. I thought it was a really good year for TV.
A lot of fun stuff. Yeah.
There's been some moments during the year where I felt like there was nothing to watch. And, but as a whole, I thought it was, I mean, we talked about a lot of good television and a lot of it's coming back. A lot of those same shows are coming back. And, I don't know, TV's in a weird place at the moment. It's going to be weird if Netflix buys Warner Brothers, and I don't know. It's going to be an interesting year.
Did that go through yet, or that's still in the works?
Still in the works, yeah.
And we just cut the cord for cable.
Really?
And we went all...
And they're spending exactly the same.
YouTube TV, all streaming, doing everything else. So it is, it's very interesting because, you know, you basically have left... 3, 6, and 10, you know, our network television.
Yeah.
They're doomed, which is why you see them buying all of these streaming services or being bought by streaming services, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, who cares? You're not going to watch that anymore. You're going to watch that as an afterthought.
It'll be interesting. One more thing one other thing I have to mention that it was in my top 25 was the World Series this year. It was one of the great World Series.
I did not care for it.
It was one of the great World Series ever, and maybe the greatest Game 7 ever, and maybe the greatest game ever, arguably. It was just great television, very dramatic, and I should say, you could argue whether Fox is a very good broadcaster for TV, for sports. I have problems with them sometimes, And the play-by-play guy is actually the Dodger play-by-play guy on TV out here. I'm not a fan of Smoltz.
John
Smoltz. But
John, I don't know when to shut up, Smoltz.
That him. But the drama on the field was at insane historical levels, right?
I also find it interesting that Shohei Ohtani, if this was a different commissioner in a different time, he would be banned for life.
Yeah, maybe.
And instead, he's now the biggest thing in baseball, possibly one of the biggest athletes in the entire world.
Yeah.
With the international presence, and what he did during that World Series was just unbelievable.
And we were recording this on January 7th, 1/7. And today on the MLB Network, it was all Shohei Ohtani Day, 1/7 being his number 17. and it was just all Shohei stuff today. It was fun watching.
It's just amazing to watch that, where his interpreter getting caught gambling in the old days, it would have been everybody's guilty.
Yep.
You're all out.
Yep.
And instead, he's the biggest thing in the game. And what's truly amazing is the Blue Jays in Game 7 had the lead briefly, I think, when Bo Bichette came off the disabled list to hit a home run.
Yep.
And they're letting him leave.
Possibly to the Dodgers.
So possibly to anybody that wants them, but not to the Blue Jays, which is amazing.
Possibly.
But, you know, this guy, if the game had turned out differently, he would have been the World Series hero.
Yes.
He's got off of the disabled list to be activated for the playoffs and hitting a home run in game seven.
For the analytics nerds out there, he's got a lot of negative numbers and they're declining. He's not on the rise of the players.
That's the Fisher Cup bait at that point in time. You're either all in or you're out. There's no in between.
I wouldn't give this guy a massive long-term contract.
He could be a long-term win, or he could be like Albert Pujols leaving the Cardinals and going to the Angels.
Yeah.
Where you're like, that's not very good.
No.
Or Griffey Jr. leaving the Seattle to go to Cincinnati or any of these guys that move over and –
We've talked about this too, and you and I have talked about this too, how sports on TV is very complicated, and it's getting worse. It's very hard for the viewer. It's hard to find
games. It's irritating as can be.
It's horrible. And unless you have a streaming service, I don't know that any, maybe
unless
the
you
NFL.
Have every, now you have to have every streaming service.
Unless the NFL is probably the easiest one. If you get the NFL package, you can get every game, I believe. MLB package does not get you every game, I think. I don't know about...
And the other thing that you have to realize with some of these packages is that the only reason they work now is because it hasn't expired yet.
Yep.
So the long-term deals that the networks had signed with Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NFL, all that's expiring. And as it expires, you see what baseball has done. They carve up the season now, and it's all over the place.
Basketball is incredible. It's in hot.
Basketball, you had what could be considered one of the greatest pregame, midgame, postgame show tandems out there.
Yep.
And they just let it all go because, like, well, we don't have it anymore. So you guys can go find work somewhere else.
And they did. They did.
But you couldn't imagine doing that 10 years ago. You'd be like, these guys will be together forever.
Peacock.
Instead, like,
the NBA is insane. NBC, Peacock. Where else is it, Andrew?
Anywhere to get a couple extra.
Is it on HBO? Because it was on HBO last year for a little bit.
I think it is on HBO also.
Jesus. Well, TNT lost it, right? They don't have any games on TNT anymore.
TNT doesn't have it,
Which is why that whole thing blew up.
Yeah, with the
with Charles
it's
and
all
of
it. Insane. It's just impossible.
It's insane. I watched
the game on Monday night. Now, granted, Monday night's game apparently sucked, but still, I would like to have seen it, but I had to get Peacock. I'm like, are you kidding me? Another service?
Not just you wanted to see it, you had to track them where it was.
It's very difficult.
Like,
it's not easy. It is not easy. Unless you're, it's not simple. And unfortunately, and they're not very helpful about getting all the sports are not good at helping the fans find games.
Explodes and their contract ends. I think it'll be Monday Night Football will be somewhere and Thursday Night Football will be somewhere else.
It's a money grab.
And the NFL is just as bad with all
because I can get a few more dollars out of somebody else for their programming for that particular night.
But the thing is, like, unless the ratings tank and no one watches, it's not going to change. As long as people keep watching and subscribing.
Like, just don't watch.
I think you could argue that this is probably true for regular TV too. If it gets so segmented, maybe that's not the right word.
Fragmented,
and viewers can't find things that arguably viewership should go down.
You would think,
right? So if the ratings aren't high anymore on Amazon for an NBA game or high or whatever, or not as high as they wanted it to be, it's because people can't find it or people don't want to get Amazon. And you'd think that the NBA would say, hey, this isn't helping us. Yes, we're getting a big chunk of change, but we're not getting viewers' eyeballs.
Yeah, I think what you're going to get are new eyeballs.
Hopefully. I guess that's what they're thinking.
Somebody has a streaming service and is like, well, what's on my streaming service tonight? Oh, a basketball game. All right, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Or they may not have watched it before. So the people you would normally lose as fans, a new group of people are starting to watch that instead.
Maybe
not enjoy it.
But is it enough?
But they're not watching it. Well, I think the money's still there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the money.
And I think everything, it's about the money and the content. We got to keep content going so the network keeps running.
Right.
So we got to have something on.
It's messy.
It is a mess. But TV in general, we like. Keeps us in business, right?
There you go.
Not a big fan of the World Series, though.
It was great. We loved it. And by the way, I think I saw today 36 days till pitchers and catchers to report. We are. Schwarber's back. Close.
Schwarber stays.
Schwarber stayed.
Schwarber stays, and they're talking about Wheeler, who had to have thoracic outlet surgery.
Right.
He is throwing to 75 feet. So they think he's on the way to go, and he'll be back, maybe not in time for the start of the season, but for a good part of the season.
Okay. Right.
And if you got your calendars out, 77 days till opening day. There you go.
Wow.
We are marching towards baseball, and I believe the Dodgers usually at the end, sometime in late January, we'll start having workouts at Dodger Stadium. So we are there. We are there.
That's when they'll start cheating again.
That's right. We'll start cheating again to win number three.
Bunch of dirty cheaters.
All right. On that wonderful note, we'd like to thank again our friends at Impact, Sam Filmus, Chris Udy. Who else?
And
Jeanette. And don't forget Jeanette.
Yes. Jeanette. My friend Sarah there at JVS. For sending off some great samples, the Wolf Burn, the Herb Garden, and the Apex Collection. Garden. Yep, Royal Broccoli.
Three decidedly different beverages.
Very different. Boy, really different.
All very good.
Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you again. We want to wish everyone a happy new year, and have a great and healthy 2026. This podcast, What We Watch When We Drink, will be out available to download in about a week or so.
Yep.
And you can hang with it on your own. And then again, the Murder Table will be bringing you more reviews from
I got to get back on the Murder Table bandwagon. I've been a little slacking.
The bandwagon has been slacking, but it'll be back in 2026, as well will this podcast on a semi-weekly basis, right? We're going to do our best.
We got something special lined up. We'll be
regularly irregular in our broadcasts.
That's right. We will have a very special broadcast.
We're going to have a classic rom-com. We're going to have a little bit of an in memoriam.
Yeah.
For some great people.
Maybe do a movie rundown.
Maybe.
Although, you watch
TV. Depending on how it goes. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. I wish you well. I wish our wonderful audience a happy new year, and to you boys a happy new year.
Thank you.
And we will talk soon.
Cheers. Right. Cheers. Cheers, boys.
If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.